Hello, my dear listeners. My name is Kishore Ganesh, and in this episode of the Vocal About Visuals podcast, I'll be reviewing Christopher Nolan's magnum opus, Oppenheimer, starring Cillian Murphy, Robert Downey Jr., Emily Blunt, Kenneth Branagh, Matt Damon, Florence Pugh, and a ton of other talent. And at the time of recording this podcast, this film has been nominated for 13 Oscars. Oppenheimer, being a cinematic achievement, is undeniable. For a film that is 3 hours long, if you were to ask me, I would have continued to watch the film even for an hour longer. I liked it that much. It entertained me that much. And I'm not saying this as a Nolan fanboy or something, because I'm not. I would happily skip a film or two of Nolan's if I don't resonate with the story. And I would happily criticize his films too, a la Dunkirk. Where were the Indian and African soldiers who fought at Dunkirk, Mr. Nolan? For a historical film, it was missing that historical fact, which was quite blatant. I will leave a link to an article offering more context on this in the description, or literally anyone can just Google it as well. But yes, as a neutral observer but nonetheless a film fan, Nolan's current work, Oppenheimer, is no doubt explosive. Pardon the pun. It is spectacular and masterful filmmaking, which according to Mr. Nolan, combines three genres in one film. And I'm quoting Nolan here, quote, "The film starts as a sort of heroic origin story, if you like, young Oppenheimer. And then, in the middle of the film, when it jumps onto the Los Alamos project, it becomes a heist film, really. It's about trying to put a team together and pull off an impossible project. In terms of imagery, I've always thought that part was very much a Western. The last act is a full-on courtroom drama. I've always been fascinated by courtroom dramas. I've always wanted to make one." End quote. And here's why this movie impressed me so much. As I watched the film, I just watched the film. I just consumed the story greedily without noticing the change in the tone or the change in the genre, as I just mentioned. So much so that the fact that a considerable portion of the film, Strauss's version of events specifically, was in black and white didn't really register that greatly in my head. I think I just associated some random reason to it, like maybe it's a flashback or something, because I was so engrossed in the movie. And this is exactly what really good movies do, don't they? They make you focus on the story, on the characters, on their emotions, on their actions, and on their motivations. And Oppenheimer is a really good movie. Maybe even great. By the way in which this black and white filming was achieved itself is very interesting. Therefore, I'm going to leave a link to that in the description as well, if one is interested in reading about that. Moving on to the performances. I mean, this is a Nolan film. So it's a downright guarantee that the performances of the cast are going to be good. Even then, the performances in this film are top-notch. Cillian Murphy as Oppenheimer is probably going to win the Oscar for the Best Actor in a Leading Role, and for good reason. The haunted look he has on his face over what he has created slash inflicted upon the world in the form of the atomic bomb, even if it was, at least this is my belief of what Oppenheimer's motivations would have been, for the benefit of democracy and liberty of people all over the world, stays with you. It is the most immediate image that comes to my mind as I write about this movie on the day of the 96th Academy Awards. Oppenheimer's character is one that is burdened by the impact of his actions on the world, the entire world. And even if many people want to make an impact of that scale and are alarmingly not considerate of whether that impact is going to be positive or negative, not many people can do that. Thank God and the universe for that. But this guy did it. He changed the world forever. And what he was doing was pioneering. He was truly a Prometheus. He gave the world fire, a very explosive, destructive version of it. But he did. And that, unless and until you're a psychopath, is going to bother you, is going to affect you. That is why for the rest of his life, he was an ardent opponent of the atom bomb ever being used again. He was an advocate for nuclear disarmament. And all of this seems a bit much, no, for one guy to take. Yeah, and that's exactly what I got from Cillian Murphy's performance. Tremendous. Now, Oppenheimer's disarmament stance, along with the conflict of pure ego, is what makes Lewis Strauss an enemy. A devious one at that. A man who plays the long game. A man who knows that bureaucracy has tremendous power, and if you are in control of it long enough, you can deliver a paralyzing blow to your opponent. A death by a thousand cuts kind of scenario. And he does that. He does that to Oppenheimer. And for a large portion of the film, because I didn't know anything about Oppenheimer except for the line, "Father of the atomic bomb," I didn't know that Strauss was going to be the villain of the film. Even after traveling for a significant distance in the movie. Because Nolan doesn't make that obvious. But when it hits, the reveal of Strauss's Machiavellian machinations, I went, whoa, this guy, this Aeol is doing all of this? And one of the reasons why I didn't even bother to doubt Strauss at the beginning was because it was played by Iron Man himself, Mr. Robert Downey Jr. And man oh man, did he bring the heat to the role. The thing about Downey's performance is that he gives Strauss a swagger and invincibility, which honestly you don't know whether that is ever gonna come off. Whether this vengeful, egoistic character will ever get his retribution. I didn't for sure, and spoiler alert, when at the climax he gets his comeuppance, the transition from invincibility to vulnerability, oh, Downey was too good in that. Bravissimo. And will it be Iron Man or Ken taking the Best Supporting Actor Oscar home? I don't know, but man, this is one of the toughest fights at the Academy Awards this year. Moving on to Emily Blunt, I mean, she's just great. Transformation, her maturity, her growth is tremendous. Hers is the character that you couldn't place as to what would happen to her eventually. By the end of the film, will she be in Oppenheimer's life or will something else happen to her? Hers is a character with real jeopardy to it, with the point of view of whether she will be a part of this narrative or not. And Emily Blunt, especially when she's called to give her testimonial, just steals the show. Tells you not to forget that Kitty Oppenheimer is here and she's a loving, able and kind partner to Robert, but more importantly, she's a badass in her own right. And you better believe that. She's nominated for the Best Actress in a Supporting Role too, by the way. And just to finish off, my two other favorite performances among many in this film is a character played by Matt Damon, playing the Honorable Lieutenant General Leslie Groves Jr. This character is the friend who has your back, but simultaneously is a tough yet fair taskmaster. And what can I say, except that for all the emotional coldness in Nolan's films, this character is definitely one that exudes the warm and brotherly love. Super performance by Damon here. And the other performance, which is a favorite of mine, is Rami Malek's David L. Hill. This is a short role, but in a Nolan film which is a biography, this is to be expected. But even in this small role, Malek displays his acting chops, and thanks to the real-life character and the writing of the character in this film, the size of the role is absolutely eclipsed by the impact that this character has on the narrative. This character is Karma, and she is a B-word. Super performance in a memorable character. These are the prominent, possibly my favorites of the performances. But all the performances invariably in this Nolan film are top-notch, making Oppenheimer a memorable watch. And the last section that I wanted to talk about is not necessarily about the film, but about a certain aspect of the story of Oppenheimer himself. About how people from any other industry apart from politics can be easily toyed with, controlled, or made into pawns by politicians. When the quote-unquote outsiders gain a certain amount of clout, and rightly so, because it's their tech, their art, their commerce that is running the world. In Oppenheimer, J. Robert Oppenheimer gains importance, prestige, and influence in American society, and in the US government, and rightfully so, because he cemented America's position as the world's foremost superpower. But thanks to his lack of guile and cunningness, Oppenheimer is punished and quite easily by Louis Strauss, who was a bureaucrat, for the crime of being an arrogant human being and stating his opinions about disarmament in a haughty manner, sometimes humiliating Strauss. Using the state machinery to punish the arrogant Oppenheimer is a gross misuse of power, and that's what Strauss successfully does here. The quote-unquote tarring and feathering of Oppenheimer was done for humiliating Strauss and also for going public with his views on the disarmament, according to the co-author of the book American Prometheus, The Triumph and Tragedy of J. Robert Oppenheimer, Mr. Kai Bird, on which this movie is based on the New Yorker's Radio R. I will link that podcast in the description of this episode too. And in this fascinating episode, Mr. Bird also sheds light on the fact that Oppenheimer's predicament, the consequences he faced owing to having an opinion that was contrarian to the opinion of the politicians, has sent a message to scientists not just in the US, but across the world, that if you become a celebrity scientist or a celebrity anything, making your opinions known, then there will be retribution for that. I would like to add that the same thing can be said about people from a wide swath of industries, not including politics, that is, where there is always a serious risk of consequences if you happen to have views that are against the system. This podcast from the New Yorker really gave me a new way of looking at Oppenheimer's life and the lessons that can be learned by us from it. Once again, this podcast is also linked in the description below, and it is very much recommended. So overall, no wonder it took me this long to write about Oppenheimer, eh? It's an epic film about an extraordinary individual. The technical prowess of this film, the cinematography, sound design, and costumes are further jewels glittering atop a magnificent crown. Deeply satisfying film. Once again, my name is Kishore Ganesh. This is the Vocal About Visuals podcast. And thank you, my dear listeners, for your time and for listening. Please do give this podcast a follow on your preferred podcast platforms and on YouTube. Do follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Podcast Plural. Thank you. Oh, one more thing. If you do happen to find this podcast on any of the podcasting platforms, kindly do leave a review stating your honest opinions. And if you are impressed by my content, please do leave a 5-star rating. Thank you.